Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
As I was preparing for the message for today, Memorial Day weekend, I was just thinking about sacrifice, all right? Just people that have served our country and have given their life, it's all about sacrifice, isn't it? And 2 years ago, my wife and I went to Hawaii. This is when, when you're married to a teacher, when you take vacation is after when school gets out, right? So that's when we take all our vacations. So we went to Hawaii for our 25th anniversary. And we happened to be at Pearl Harbor and got to see a lot of the memorials there in Hawaii just right on that Memorial Day weekend. And so, of course, you see all that's there at Pearl Harbor. And then we went up and saw a memorial on the hillside overlooking Honolulu called the Punch Bowl. And that's dedicated to the people that have given their life and that have died in battles at sea, okay, naval battles. And so we got to see some of those. So it was just kind of really... To take it all in, it's a little bit overwhelming, just the sacrifice and just the heritage that is there with our country and other countries as well, people that have given their life. You know, when you think of this idea of sacrifice, it seems to be kind of a dominant theme in many movies. Rogue One, if you went out and saw the last Star Wars movies, right, you have this group of, 30 people, right, that are going to save this galaxy, and so they go and they end up going on a mission, and none of them survive. I mean, what they do helps to save the galaxy in the long run, you know, against Darth Vader and other things. But this idea of sacrifice is a strong theme. I don't think it's one that is adopted by people. It is countercultural because most of the people, I believe, in our culture are occupied looking out for themselves and their own interests. Because why? Sacrifice is painful, it's difficult, and it's costly. So to look at this idea of sacrifice, I want us to look at 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 4. And Paul talks a little bit about his life and reflection. It's towards the end of his life, it's towards the end of his ministry. And so he talks a little bit about just some thoughts, and he talks about sacrifice. And I want us to look at that today as we explore this idea of sacrifice a little more. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, like a sacrifice. And the time for my departure is near. So he knows that his life is close to being ended. He'd be executed. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts this day. And we just thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, Paul was an intelligent man. He was very zealous as well. Before he knew Christ, he comes on the scene in the book of Acts. And the church is just being started. You have the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people get saved. And so then Paul comes on the scene, and he begins to be the disruptor. He's the one that begins to persecute this early church and these early believers. Stephen is stoned at his hands. He is there giving his blessing to Stephen being killed. And then he goes from there, he goes up to Damascus a little further away because he hears of believers there. And so he's going to go and persecute them. And some of them would lose their homes and they'd lose their property and some of them would lose their life. So as he's on his way to Damascus, this is found in Acts chapter 9, he has an encounter with Jesus. He's riding his donkey. He's going along. He has his military regiment with him. And boom, he's blinded. He can't see. This bright light appears to him, and it's Jesus. And Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? You can't kick against the goads and win. And he's blinded. the people that are around him don't know what has happened or what has taken place. It is something that is happening to Paul, but nobody else sees it. But he's blinded. For 3 days, he doesn't eat or drink anything. He's taken into Damascus. His life has been totally turned upside down. And he doesn't know what's next. The person that he was persecuting is now, he's had an encounter with. He's met the Christ. And so after these 3 days have passed, Ananias, a believer in Christ, God speaks to him, says, I want you to go and pray for Saul. And Ananias is saying, no. He's the one that's persecuting all the believers, right? You want me to go and pray for him? God says, yes. So Ananias obeys and prays for Paul. His eyesight is restored. He's baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit. He even begins ministering right away, and probably being a novice, and probably Paul was just kind of black or white. He was like all or nothing type of guy. And so they're, after a couple days of him preaching, they're ready to throw him out of the city and kill him. So he has to escape and get out of there. He spends several years in preparation. And then we know in Acts, he is commissioned out of the Antioch church with Barnabas to go on what we call missionary journeys. They went up into Asia, modern-day Turkey, and then Macedonia, Athens, and Greece. All right, he'd do that 3 times. Each of those times, he was going into Gentile territory, sharing Christ to people that had no knowledge of Christ or who Christ was. And it was a difficult road. And God calls him to be a light to the Gentiles. And it would be a calling that Paul would give himself completely to. And it would be a calling that would cost him something. And it would be about sacrifice. And so there's some things that as we look at our text that I think we learn about sacrifice. The first of all is that first Paul lived his life as an offering to God. And that's in your program there. You can write that out. Paul lived his life as an offering to God, as a sacrifice. And so we read in Romans chapter 12, Paul encourages us to what? In the view of God's mercy, we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. That our life should be something that is a gift to God, that honors Him, that glorifies Him, and that brings Him praise and glory. Now, that's the way Paul lived his life. And because he went on these missionary journeys, it meant that a lot of times sometimes he was hungry, sometimes he was well fed. Sometimes he had a place to stay, sometimes he didn't. And sometimes they were met with a lot of hostility. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he kind of details a little bit of what his missionary work was like. He says, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, I've been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Does this sound good? Any takers? All right. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one, so the 39 lashings. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I'm assuming hanging on to something. If you don't like sharks, that's probably not a good thing. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers. I've been in danger from bandits. From my fellow Jews, in danger of the Gentiles, in danger of the city, in danger in the country, in danger of the city, in the danger of false believers. I've labored, I have toiled, I've often gone without sleep, I've known hunger, thirst, and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I daily face the pressure of my concern for the churches. Now, how many would have wanted to be in Paul's shoes? None of us. And I don't think Paul was a glutton for punishment either. He had it made prior to his conversion. He had power. I believe he had status. I think he had wealth. He had it all. But now he commits his life to a life of sacrifice because his life was an offering to God in view of what God has done. And as you look at church history, Paul is not alone. You'll see many believers that would make sacrifices to do the work of God and to live their life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you've heard of him from history, he pastored in Germany around the time of World War II when Hitler was coming to power. Now, when Hitler became to full power, he was actually ministering in England and the United States. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he could have just stayed there, a place that was safe and secure, away from Hitler's reach. But he chose to go back to Germany because he wanted to influence the church in his country. Because most of the church in Germany were not resisting Hitler. They were going along with Hitler and his atrocities. They were silent as Jews were being slaughtered and killed and taken to the concentration camps. They were quiet. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer went back, and he was a voice against Hitler. He would end up being executed by Hitler along with some other guys in the stance that he took. But he chose a life of sacrifice because he loved God in the view of God's mercy, and he believed in what God had called him to do. And so history is full of people that have said, you know what, I'm going to honor God, and my life is going to be an offering, a sacrifice to God. Secondly, Paul says he was willing to die for what he believed in. Paul was willing to die for what he believed in. Now, if you sign up for the military, right, you have to be willing to die for serving your country. That is one of the things. If you're not willing to die for your country, you probably shouldn't be enlisting. Okay, you may think, well, I'm going to take a gamble. We're living in a time of peace. I'm not going to have to. And I remember when I had to, sign up, graduated high school, right? You have to voluntary, right? But it's kind of something that you think about because you realize, you know what? If there's ever a draft and I'm called, it means I'm going to have to serve my country in that way. You have to be willing to die for what you believe in. And if you talk to most military people, they believe that the values that we have in our country are worth fighting for, and it's worth giving your life for, right? And for Paul, what God had called him to was worth dying for. The commission. He was so passionate about it that he was willing to sacrifice, and he was willing to even give his life to do what God had called him to do. Now, I don't think he was on a suicide mission. I believe he enjoyed life and he wanted to live it to the fullest. But he was willing to die for what God had called him to do. And history, if you look at the early church, especially in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries, many would die for their faith in the Colosseums, under Roman opposition and persecution. And you would think that was a deterrent to Christianity, right? Because that's what Rome wanted to do. They wanted to squash this small movement. Really, Christianity wasn't that large at that point. And they wanted to squash it, but it didn't squash it. And instead, the persecution caused the church to grow. Why was that? Why would the church grow under persecution? You ever think about that? Because people saw in these believers, they saw something that says, you know what, they're willing to die for what they believe in. And that inspired them. Because people in that time, you know, they had power, they had wealth. And also now they see people that are passionate about something, that they were following something that they were willing to die for. And that ignited other people's hearts. And so people from all walks of life left their lifestyle to follow Christ and become Christians. And the church grew during times of persecution. They wanted to be part of something that was worth dying for. I think a sacrifice, I think one of the reasons it's a popular theme in the box offices right now is that people are looking for something that is worth sacrificing for. And it goes very countercultural right now, but they really want to be part of something that they can be passionate about and excited about. You know, I know pastors that have, prior to them being pastors, they've had six-figure incomes, CEO, whatever the case may be. And they left what they were doing to pastor and to follow Christ because it is something that excited them. The wealth and the income did not stir their heart and provide contentment in their life. Now, if I mention, I'm not going to tell you guys, Chris, if you can put up that picture. Can you put up that picture? This is from the draft in 1998. I didn't know these guys were going to be here. But since they are football players, I'm going to have, who's the guy on the left? Got it. Okay, who's the guy on the right? I mean, everybody knows Peyton Manning, right? Who's the guy in the middle?
Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf, who was the number one draft pick that year in 1998? Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf. But nobody knows him, right? He is called one of the biggest NFL draft busts that there ever was. And he was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. And then he did Dallas and a couple other teams. Basically had, a four-year career. Ended up getting, he was cocky, he was arrogant. He had some, bad season and stuff like that. And he didn't know how to work through all that. Ended up getting involved with prescription drugs. Was arrested a couple different times. But he served time. His life basically collapsed on him. But now they had a documentary on him on ESPN. So we watched him when we were in Cancun. Daniel and I did. We were in the back room. And but now he's speaking to high schools, doing programs and stuff. And he's just talking about the dangers of drugs and just your choices in life, and working with people that are coming out of drug addiction. And he says, you know what? Now he goes, I've made some huge mistakes and stuff like that. He goes, but you know what? He goes, I enjoy life now. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, making $15 an hour, more than I ever did making $3 million a year. Because he's doing something that he's passionate about and that he loves. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. But I just kind of wonder if he didn't find Christ somewhere along the line. But it's an interesting story. Just about sometimes we think that life, we have it all made, but it's not what it ends up being. Sometimes sacrifice is a good thing. Number three, Paul stayed focused on the prize. He says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. My time is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. I think there was many times that Paul wanted to quit. I think I would have probably quit, just one of those first oppositions along the way, right? But Paul didn't give up. He didn't quit. Why? Because he was focused on the end. He was focused on the end goal, on the prize. One, that what God has called him to do. But secondly, the prize, the reward that God would give him when he entered into eternity. You know, anything worth doing in life, you have to keep your eye on the end, don't you? On that end goal. Whether it's finishing a degree, finishing a job, finishing an accomplishment, it all requires us to stay focused on the end goal. I know that Paul did not enjoy persecution and the sacrifice along the way, but he endured because he did not lose sight of what was important and what he was fighting for. If you read a little bit further on in our passage, verse 9, Paul says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he has loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. You know, you don't hear a lot about Demas. You hear about him a couple places in Scripture. He was a convert of Paul's and served along Paul's side, but Demas lost sight of the big picture. He lost sight of the end goal and the sacrifice was too much. And so he left. He was gone. He says, the Demas has forsaken me. Come, do your best to come to me quickly. It's important that we keep our eyes focused on the prize and what God has called us to do. On Memorial Day weekend, we honor those that give their life to protect our country and serve our country. It's not an easy sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice most are willing to make because they believe in the freedom and the values that we have in the United States of America. In the same way, I don't think God has called us to live a life of suffering, but he has called us to live our life as an offering to God. I want to close with a final story. It's about a desert saint, okay? And you probably don't know about the desert saints unless you've read church history. But they were common during the 4th and 5th century. Okay, one of the first ones was Antonio of Egypt. And Antonio grew up in Egypt. Okay, that's why he says Antonio of Egypt. All right, and he grew up in a wealthy home. And his parents passed away. He was raised one of his siblings. But one day he was out on a walk and he began to reflect upon the scripture and that the apostles gave up everything to follow Christ. And then Jesus says, he talks to the rich young ruler and says, go sell everything you have and come follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad because he wasn't willing to do that. And Antonio was thinking about that and he just felt God kind of convict his heart. And so he went back home that day and gave away all his wealth and went and lived in the desert. And people thought he was crazy. Yeah, they thought he was crazy. Something's wrong up there. But he lived out in the desert. And after a while, the people thought he was going to waste away. He was going to die, be eaten by the wild beasts. But instead, he became stronger. He looked healthy. He would later develop a following, and people would seek him out. You know, just think about, just he gave up a place, a house, food. He gave up a lot just to live in the desert, right? He got people's attention anyway. Well, people began to notice him. And before long, he began to pray for the sick and people were healed. He began to cast out demons. He ministered to the distressed. He passed on his wisdom to anyone who would listen. And some would say that his sacrifice and the sacrifice of the other desert saints was too much. They just went way too far. Okay? But their witness was extreme, but it caught people's attention and it caused other people to consider their ways. And it brought them maybe part of the way to considering how they were living their life. One author writes, perhaps the desert saints went too far in giving up everything to follow Christ. It certainly appears to be that way in an age like our own when Christianity blends so comfortably with the cultural status quo, right? Christians just want to blend in with everybody else. The desert saints were aware of the problem of strangeness even in their own day. However crazy, they deserve our admiration, for they dared to take a stand against the compromised Christianity of their day. And so the question I end with is it strange for a man or a woman to enlist in the military, knowing they're going to have to make sacrifices, being away from their family for days, sometimes years? Is that strange? That they are called into harm's way and are called to lay down their life for the freedom of others? Sometimes people that don't appreciate their freedom and even curse what our nation stands for. Is that strange? Is it strange for a believer in Christ to make sacrifices along the way of following Christ and living our life as an offering to God? Is that strange? Yeah, sometimes it is. But see, we, I believe, in the end, honor sacrifice. We honor the people that are willing to make a sacrifice, who believe in what they are doing, what they're called to do. Paul lived his life as an offering to God. He is willing to die for what he believed in, and he stayed focused on the prize. Because of this, not only did he receive his great reward in heaven, but he had the joy of knowing that thousands were led to Christ because of the sacrifices he made. Paul was probably one of the greatest missionaries this world has ever seen. He went into modern-day Turkey, Ephesus, Corinth, Colossae, church in Philippi, Athens, Corinth. Those were all churches that were affected by him. They grew out of him going into uncharted territories to share Christ. And most of us will probably not come close to the sacrifice that Paul made. And I don't think God is calling us to live Paul's life. He's calling us to live our life, right? And what he's called us to do. And I don't know what that looks like. All I know is the scripture calls us to live our life as an offering to God. And then you need to believe in something that you're willing to live for and die for. And hopefully that is your faith in Christ. That you can say, like Paul, that I've poured out my life as an offering to God. That I have fought the good fight. That I've finished the race. That I've kept the faith. And that now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. This morning, I just want us to look to the Lord in prayer. And if you've not accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I want to just begin there this morning. And I'm just going to invite you to join me in a prayer, and just a prayer of invitation to invite Christ in your life. I believe if you mean it, it's nothing special about the prayer, but if you just mean it with all your heart, I believe that God honors that and begins the process to know him as your Lord and your Savior. So would you just join me in prayer this morning? Say, dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross for me. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. This morning, I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. And may I give my life to follow you. May it be a beautiful offering to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we sing this closing song, will you reflect upon your life? And all I know is if you live the status quo in your life, you're never going to stand out. And I don't want to just live my life to stand out, to be weird just to be weird, you know what I mean? But if you live the status quo, you're never going to affect your world. You're never going to impact your world. You're going to be good at anything, you have to make a sacrifice, right? You have to make a sacrifice. If you want to be good in athletics, you have to make a sacrifice. If you want to be good at what you do in work, you have to make sacrifices. If you want to be a good husband or a good wife, you have to make sacrifices. You want to be a good mom or dad, you have to make sacrifices. All those things come with a sacrifice. But that's what makes life rewarding. Amen? What is God calling you this morning to? Will you just take time to reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and life? Sometimes we want to take the easy road, and God's saying, I want you to take the road that honors and glorifies me. Amen? Would you stand this morning? We're going to close with the song, Great Are You, Lord. Would you lead us? Father, this morning we just thank you. Thank you for our veterans. We thank you that for those that have given our life for our country. America is a unique nation. We're one nation under God. Father, we just thank you for the nation that we live in. Protect the freedoms that we have as a nation. Allow us as a Christian and as a citizen of this nation to do our best to pray for our nation, to protect the liberties that are ours. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this weekend, you would just be with us. Be with us in our fun, in our time together with family. Be with us as we go back to work this week. Let us be a witness. We just thank you for your goodness and your love, and allow us to live our life as an offering to you. Sacrifice I believe gains the attention of our world because it shows that we're living our life as an offering to you. You haven't called us just to suffer aimlessly for no reason, but you've called us to live our life in a way that honors you and glorifies you. And Lord, I pray you grant us the wisdom know how to live our life in a way that honors you in all that we do and that brings glory back to you, so that like Paul we can say we've poured out our life as an offering to you. Father, go with us, and if there's health needs, we pray for Emerson this morning. Just pray that your hand, the healing touches upon her, Lord. And any other prayer requests this morning, Father, that you just meet each need. We give you the thanks. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave. Shake the hands of a few. God bless you.